Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM is conducting 12 30-minute interviews with local residents in the Harvey area. The series is called Your Stories, Our Community 2024. The volunteers that have agreed to be interviewed come from a diverse range of backgrounds and life experiences. The recorded interviews will be played on HCR 96.5 FM twice per week over a 12-week period, and the local audio content preserved as a historical recording for future generations. Volunteer HCR 96.5 FM announcers will conduct the interviews, and station manager Ian Taylor will coordinate the project and is the producer of the recordings. HCR 96.5 FM is thankful for the financial support for the project provided by Albemarle and the Shire of Harvey.
G'day listeners, it's David Marshall, and it's great that you can join us again for Your Stories, Our Community 2024. It's where we get together with a number of people from across our community and just have a bit of a chinwag about who they are and what they're doing and why they came to be here and all sorts of stuff. And I've got my good friend in here today, Lenny Mosny. G'day Lenny, welcome to Harvey Community
Radio. Good day, David. I am so nervous right now, but yes, good day still.
Yeah, a good day. It's a great day to be in here. So happy that we have a bit of a chat about some of things of your life and your experiences and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure. Why not? She says
through gritted teeth. But anyway, all right, well, let's go with it. We've got a number of questions, and we also asked you to bring in a couple of songs, which is great.
Yes.
So you've done that, so we'll play those in a moment. But this is called Your Stories, Our Community 2024. And I've got Lenny Mosny in the studio, as I said. So, Lenny, can we just start a little bit of a certain thing we have to do? Do you want to catch your full name and where you were born and what cultural heritage do you come from?
Yeah, so my full name is Lenny Barola Mosne, and I was born in the Philippines, and I am identified as a Filipino by birth and Australian citizen by naturalization.
Wow, yes. Got it both happening there.
Yes.
So, all right, brilliant. So Lenny Mosny from the Philippines, which is great. Can you describe basically the region or the area that you grew up in the Philippines, where you grew up, but also what was it like? What are your memories of growing up in that region?
Okay, so I was born and raised in the province of Bukidnon. So when I was a child, and we have these history classes and we have all these maps and the map of the Philippines, I always look or view our map just to simplify everything and just to simplify my life. View our Philippine map as like a person with a head and a hand reaching out and then the leg part. So when I look into our map, if I can just let you imagine where it is. So the Philippines is divided into three major islands, the Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. Mm-hmm. So the head part for me, or the head part, is the Luzon part, where our capital city is, Manila. And the middle part with the hand reaching out is the Visayas island. And then we have the lower part, the Mindanao Island. That's where Davao is our biggest city in that island. Mm. And that's where, in Mindanao, that's where the Bukidnon province is also located. So Bukidnon is very known as a very agricultural area.
Mm-hmm.
And it is even known to be the food basket of that region because it is the biggest source of rice and corn in that area. And they have a lot of big plantations as well, like sugarcane, pineapple. The sweetest pineapple I've ever tasted in my whole life will still be from that area. And bananas. So where I was born in the province of Bukidnon, I was very exposed to the agricultural area where the plantation, the biggest plantation of sugarcane is.
Right.
So my mom and dad is an employee of that agricultural company, which is called WADI, Ozamis Agricultural Development Incorporated.
Uh-huh.
And they have this vast area of the sugarcane plantation. And so they created even like a small community they called a WADI already from the company's name.
Yeah.
And they've housed all their employees and their families in there. Oh. So they built their houses in there. All the employees and the staff with their families have grown in there. So I grew up into that. We call it a compound.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then so they also built a gym or an indoor court for the kids to play. And they also provided a bus because we are away from the town where we go to school to. And then growing up, I remembered vividly. I thought it's such a normal thing for a kid to eat raw sugar cane because that's what we have in there. We don't have the luxury of these chocolates lollies and everything. So we're in a compound, secluded area where everyone knows one another. And then, that's just our pastime. Every day, we just cut that sugarcane stalk, cut it with our knees. We don't have knives and everything. Cut it with our knees. It's like a meter long sugarcane stalk. And we eat it with our mouth, bite the hard part, peel it off with our mouth, with our teeth, and then just take a bite and grab a portion and chew it and suck the juice out of it and then spit it out. That's how you eat the raw sugarcane. So I thought it was such a normal thing because it's an everything thing for us as kids. So that's how I grew up with, and that's basically the region or the place where I grew up.
Right. No, that's fantastic. Now, I'm looking across the desk at you, and what I do notice as you're telling me that story, you've got beautiful teeth.
Oh,
how did you get those if you've been sucking on sugar cane all your life as a kid?
Because they say it's a healthy kind of sugar because it's raw. It's raw. Natural. Yes.
So it's not that refined rubbish that the rest of us were sucking on throughout our childhood. So, that's brilliant. And look, the other thing that I have noted as you've been telling me that is you've been smiling as you've been talking. Yes. So you've got great memories of that?
Yes, definitely. Such a happy, full of adventure childhood that I can always remember with my friends in that area.
Great.
So, we grew up, most of us grew up all together in that area. We've been very close.
Mm.
We know each other very well. Mm-hmm. So I can still also vividly remember because my dad is a very strict dad.
Mm-hmm.
So all the other kids, my friends, every time we come home from school or during the weekends, they would always go to our house because we are not allowed, until we're given the verbal permission that we're allowed to go out of the house. So they always wanted to play with everyone. So they go to our house, ask permission. And then my dad would always just tell us, come back when it's getting dark because we're all going to need to be in the dining table all together as a family.
That's great story. Yes. I suppose it doesn't necessarily matter what country you're from or what culture you're from. Many of us have those sorts of stories. You can go away, but you got to be back by dark.
Yes.
so that's fantastic. All right, that's cool. And we are going to come back in a moment. I just want to find out a little bit more about some of those other memories of growing up in as a child and maybe some of the games and that you used to play. But I want to just talk about your specific family. This time you've referenced your dad and the town, the company town, if you like, that you were in and that sort of stuff. So what was the family dynamics for you growing up in your house?
Mm-hmm.
And do you still have family members living in that area or in the Philippines now?
When we were in that compound, I think there was, because I grew up with a big family with seven children.
Wow.
Yes. So I am the third among the seven kids. So I have two elder sisters and then four younger brothers.
Got you.
Yes. And then we are always called in our area as the Tres Marias because we are all girls, all three girls, and then all boys after that. So, so we are a very close family and we have this, my mom and dad, as I mentioned, my dad is a very strict dad.
Mm.
So you really have to be there, eat together, and then everything has to be with his permission. You can't even just say that I don't want to go to school.
Right.
It's something that he has to gauge if you're telling the truth or not. Mm-hmm. And then even if you miss the bus, he will drop you off, drive you into the school, and then drop you off in school. And my mom is the very shy type person.
Right. Yes.
I am too, right. Actually, uh-huh. growing up. So I'm very shy that even while I was in my elementary years, that's how we call it in here. You call it here as primary years.
Right, yes.
In our elementary years, I remember one of my teacher in year three, we call it grade three in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in grade three, and then she would always say that, because every time there's recess is the break time for school. So every time there's recess, all the other kids will be jumping all over and then talking to one another, and I would just be sitting in there doodling and not talking too much. And so she would always say, I wish that every one of you would be the same as Lenny, because it would be very easy life for me. So I was that shy at that point.
Okay.
At that point. So I'm not too sure now.
I would know. I was going to say at some point in time that bypassed, but that's
all right. But we're very close family. Yes. And I still do have my, our eldest sister is still in the Philippines, not in that compound anymore, because we don't live in that compound anymore.
Yep.
And my two brothers are still in the Philippines. So I have one of my brother here already in Harvey.
Yep.
And another one who's under student visa, so he's studying here WA as well. Yes.
And one visited just recently, and then
oh my God, every one of them was able to come over here. All the other three siblings who lived in the Philippines was able to come over here to celebrate the 18th birthday, which is such a big one for Filipinos.
Right.
The debut of Isabella.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. It was a big party. So if you missed that one in the Harvey region, big party. So that was family, and would have been a wonderful family gathering for you.
Yes, it was such a memorable one.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, that's brilliant. Okay, so that's where you grew up. I love your geography of the place as well, the human body. I feel like I've been to biology and anatomy and geography and a bit of history, but at least I know a bit of understanding of how the Philippines looks, heads and hands and feet, so that's good. Some still family in the Philippines as well. You have, you've touched on, obviously, in the story of the sugar cane and growing up as a child. Mm. Just want to delve into that a bit. So, happy childhood. So, big family, like any family, I suppose, a bit of push and shove and pull and whatever, but sounds like a very happy time for you. And were there other types of games and that you guys used to play? Or?
Oh, yes, definitely. So we all will gather together into what we call the covered court, which was provided in that compound.
Yep.
We used to play this, what they call patentero. We have bulan-bulan, but I won't interpret it anymore to you.
That's all right.
But I would like to emphasize, we used to play this one, which I have introduced in the after-school care with Tanya here at the rec center.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's called Chinese garter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I've introduced it with the kids for the after-school care with Tanya. And it's when you, it's using a garter, a rubber garter, which is a very thin one.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is to cross over that garter without touching it.
Ah.
Yeah, and it goes from the lower level up to the highest. So even as high as, I don't know how many meters already.
Yes, uh-huh.
But yeah,
quite
whoever
high.
Can jump that high would definitely be declared the winner.
Ah,
yes.
Right.
So yes, I've introduced that.
All right,
well.
Excellent.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's lovely that, same deal, it doesn't matter where you grow up or whatever, children will be children, and they'll come up with certain games or do things with whatever you've got handy at the time and that sort of stuff. So, believe me, listeners, she's absolutely beaming here at the moment as we take her back down memory lane to her childhood. We're going to stick around here for the next couple of questions that I've got. So this is really about, obviously, you've got that whole growing up time and if you like, not if you like, where you came from, and then we're going to get to where you are now type thing in a moment. Yeah. But just a couple of things. So more broadly about growing up in that area and your memories and thoughts of that, what are some of those things that you really loved and cherished as a growing up in your family or with your friends and all of that? And what are some of those things you really miss?
Oh, I really love that we are so close. Mm. We know one another, because it has been different when we shifted to another town. Because while my my mom and dad, as I said, they were employed in that agricultural company.
Yeah.
And then my dad resigned and became a farmer himself, who did a sugarcane plantation. And eventually we were able to build our own house. But it was outside that compound already.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally different. Because we are very new to that town, and it's a bigger town,
right?
So it's not like the way we are used to, that we know every single kid in there.
Sure.
Yeah. So I really miss that very close relationship. I also very much miss how our family always is gathered together during mealtime, especially how strict my dad was. It was not something we look forward to every time for him being strict, but it was something that I've missed and have inculcated a lot of good values for us, just like how I teach my kids now that every time we are together in the house, we make sure that we all eat together in our meal in one table.
Mm.
And yeah, so that's what I really miss, the fun and the outdoor activities, because I've seen that kids now are more into gadgets. And we interact every time, we socialize every day. We grew up I'm knowing these kids really as a person, not just from behind whatever gadget it is, and knowing just their name, but knowing the person themselves. And then, I missed eating that raw sugar cane, definitely. Yes.
I thought that might come out. So, but you are right in that context of connection.
Yes.
You know, we've probably never been more connected in our whole lives with technology and all the rest of it.
Mm.
But it's not quite the same as if you're not face to face with someone and talking and, you know, seeing that sort of thing. So, okay. So that's a great thing, and that's a great capture as well there. All right, final question in this little set before we go to your first song, because I can hear listeners out there going, play us a song, what's she got? Well, we're going to tell you in a moment. But I already know the answer to this question, but have you been back to your original country, in this case the Philippines? But I'm more interested in how does it make you feel when you go back? And perhaps how does it make you feel when you have to leave to come back here?
Oh, yes. We try our very best to be going back home every now and then. So every 2 or 3 years was the plan until pandemic hit.
Yes, for sure.
And then we were not able to go for at least around almost 5 years that we were not able to go back home. We've just recently been back home 2023.
Oh, yes.
Last year.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, for the 50th birthday of my our eldest sister, Moy is how we call her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then we call her Ate Moy, as you can as you would notice with all the Filipinos, we have the Ate and the Kuya, but I'll tell you that later. Okay.
That's good. Then
I was a shy type, before, but no. I'm very talkative now. My teacher would be ashamed to tell the kids then.
I think she'd be very proud. I think she'd be very proud.
Yeah, but what I really love going over there is always keeping that relationship, that connection.
Mm.
Because every time we go over there, that's why we also don't, we try to keep our language at home. We speak it with the kids, because every time we go home, we don't want them to feel out of place.
Yes.
And then they would not be able to connect with their cousins, their friends over there. It would always be home for us, David.
Yep.
Every time we go over there, it would always be
going home. Yes.
But then again, we have built a new home in here as well. So we still would miss. Actually, we felt that our life has already been in here now, because we will be there, and we would realize that all our families there have their own lives to live every day, which we are not included anymore as an everyday kind of thing. So that makes us realize also that the home that we built here is also another home for us, for the Mosne family. But it will always be home going back home.
I think that's one of the things that is absolutely coming out in these interviews as we interview various people from across the globe, is that it is actually possible to have two homes.
Yes.
That's what it comes out as, coming out at, which is a lovely thing.
Yes,
so fantastic. All right. Well, we are going to kick into your first song.
Okay.
And I know we asked you to request one before. Do you want to tell us who it is and what the song is and also why you've chosen it?
Okay. So this song is called, or the title of the song is Usahay. Mm-hmm. And it is sung by a Filipina. Her name is Pilita Corrales. I chose this song because this is the song that my mom and dad will really sing in a duet always, because we love karaoke singing. You know,
I've
that for
that.
Filipina. Yes. So they've been very supportive. We have a minus one. We have a karaoke. Everything that needs to be given for us to really just sing. And this is the song, a Bisaya song. So Bisaya is our language, our dialect in that region, in mm-hmm. that area. Tagalog is the national language.
Right, yep.
So we have Bisaya. It's Usahay, and it means sometimes.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we're going to go with Lenny Mosny, who is my special guest today on this Your Stories, Our Community 2025, with her choice of song. And this one's called Usahay. Enjoy.
Damgo ako nga ikaw ug ako nagahigugmaay nganong damguhon ko ikaw damguhon sa kanunay sa ako.
Indeed. Welcome back. G'day, this is David Marshall. You're listening to Your Stories, Our Community 2024, and I've got my special guest in the studio today, Lenny Mosny. Tell us again who your artist was and what the song was.
Yeah, that was Usahay, mm-hmm. and it was sung by Pilita Corrales, and it's a love song.
Oh,
yes.
Beautiful. Mm. All right. That's why she was swaying and
yes.
had her eyes closed.
Maybe that's why that's the favorite of my mom and dad.
Maybe. Yeah, I would think so. Hey, we've been having a bit of a chat, if you've just joined us, about Lenny's life, basically. Lenny's from the Philippines and came to Harvey some years ago and has been growing a family while she's been here. And we've been talking about principally about your growing up story and the time in the Philippines.
Yes.
I want to kind of flip it a little bit to now when you're living in the Harvey region, you know, in the Harvey area here. And just want to, you touched before about the importance for cultural language for you. I just want to, I suppose, just have a little chat about that. Is cultural language something that you speak at home, or where do you mostly speak your original language, if you like?
We always speak that at home still for our kids to grow up with that language, so they will still be able to understand, even if they can't speak the words, but they can understand us. And with all the other friends that I have in here as well in the community, all other Filipinos with the same dialect, because as I said, it's one of the dialects of in the Philippines. We have 100+ dialects, different dialects. So yes, and we have the national language, so we will still understand one another. So yeah, we still speak that, and also with friends here.
Right. And when, so in that context, when as you've shifted, you know, you've been in the Harvey area for how long now?
14 years.
14 years, nearly 14 as long as I have.
Oh, wow.
So over that 14 years, you've met lots of people, and you know, you've been one of those people that have tried to bring people together. I've seen that over those 14 years. Would when you catch up with people, new people from the Philippines, or people who have been here for a long while but from the head rather than the feet, or from the hands rather than the head, do you speak the national language generally then?
So that's what we learned when we came over into this foreign country. So we learned that we can't immediately just say hi to them in our dialect. So we don't know yet if she is from our region or not. So we always just speak the Tagalog. Tagalog is the national language. And then along the way, we would realize that we're both Bisaya. And then we said, oh, we were just having nosebleed, is how we call it, nosebleeding, because we're trying to speak the national language when we're not so used to it at all. So yes.
All right, brilliant. No worries. So in that context, around the cultural language, but also your heritage, which you've, you know, described your growing up and whatever, you know, how important is that for you and your family, and where, how do you preserve it? How do you preserve culture?
So for me, it's a very important part of me, which I wanted my kids to still know about, so that they'll be kept rooted. And then that they would know where they came from.
Right.
So it's really, really very important for me. So how do I preserve it? Aside from preserving it at home, I also, as part of the Harvey Filipino community, it's always been my goal to preserve our heritage, our culture, like dance. First thing, our cultural dances, we have created it with among of my other... with my other friends, four of them. So there's five of us. Have created the dance group called Carinosas. So our aim really for this dance group is to showcase and to share our cultural dances. Also, the way of preserving it is as well is teaching it to all the other Filipino kids. So we have been very privileged and very privileged to be able to teach it every time they invite us for any multicultural days in schools. So when my Isabella and Francesca, that those are my two daughters, are still in St. Anne's, Tuesday, my best friend, Tuesday, and I will always be asked to do something every multicultural day. So one time we did a cultural dance there. We presented a cultural dance. Second, I think another time we taught them about just about the Philippines, our language, the food that we eat in there. So just telling them about that one. And also we had this, usually we had a an Independence Day celebration, which is usually in June for the Filipinos, because that's our Independence Day in the Philippines. And we usually celebrate it here in the community. One time we just had a celebration where we included all families, and we were doing all these different games, cultural games in the Philippines. And we were able to do it with our kids who are not very familiar with it already. So those are the kinds of things that we are doing to preserve this culture. And also, I don't want to forget, we just did it last year. I initiated with some group of my friends' parents to create, to, because in our school in the Philippines, we all we always have this school project we called, we make a parol for December, for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
That's a staple. If we have a staple food of rice in every meal that we do for Filipinos, that's a staple Christmas decoration in every house. It's a star made of bamboos.
Oh, yes.
And then we cover it with colored cellophane. Mm-hmm. And then with some tassels in it, and then we put some lights into that one, and that will be something that will signify that it's a Filipino home, it's a Filipino celebration.
Cool.
Yeah, decoration. So
yes,
we did that last year with all the other kids who didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
And they were so happy that some of the parents who knew about it, they wanted it to be done again so that the Filipino kids still would have a grasp of how we were doing it and what are the cultural things that we still would like them to be introduced to.
Fantastic. Looks like you've got it absolutely covered. I think a star made of sugar cane would have been a better way to go.
Yeah,
you can eat it afterwards.
To think about it.
It's good for your teeth, apparently. So. All right, look, we are scooting along here. So we've got a couple more questions I want to ask you. Just quickly, we talked very much about cultural language and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Would you be able to say a few words, whatever you want to say in there, in your cultural language,
okay,
and then maybe just interpret for us in English?
Okay. So, because I've noticed in here, you always say, when you say hi, that's a usual thing, hi. And then how are you? That's always the things that you say in here. So even if I don't know you, I would always say, yeah, I'm all good. Yeah, I'm okay. I have to answer that.
I'm
but
healthy.
We actually have that in the Philippines as well. So when we greet one another, it's just that, maybe that was the equivalent of what they always do here. So when we greet one another, we always say, like, example, if I greet you and I meet you, I would always say, David, kamusta? Kamusta is always the word.
Uh-huh.
It's like, how are you? How's life been? Or just how are you?
Yes.
So it's the same thing.
All
that
right,
we always
cool.
So kamusta would always be a safe word for you to say for all of us. And we will be telling you about our day and how our day is. So kamusta is a word. And then I would always want to share how we say thank you. And that's the word. That word is equivalent to salamat. For
salamat. Yes, I have seen that written before,
yes,
haven't I? Yes. Okay, well, that's good. Well, I've got a couple of new phrases there for me. So, kamusta, how are you? And salamat,
yes.
Thank you.
Salamat, yes.
Salamat.
Yes.
I've got to work on my accent.
Yeah. It becomes a different word.
Yeah. All right, brilliant. Great. All right, I feel like I've already got a head start for the next time I go to the Philippines. I'm already partly
yes.
there.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go here. We've got three quick questions
okay.
and we're pretty much heading over time. But for just as best you can, from a cultural perspective, what are some of the biggest challenges for you living in the Harvey area? You've been here 14 years
yes.
now, but
yes.
Could have been when you first arrived or through
yes.
to still. What are some of those challenges?
Definitely cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. I wouldn't say the language.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Philippines, we also have English as our medium of instruction.
Gotcha.
So
yep.
we definitely understand and even speak the language, English. It's just the accent.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, every time I'm asked, where do you live? Solar. And they would say Sola. So, yeah, you have to remember the R there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so language is one of the difficulties. It's not because we don't speak English, but it's because of the accent there. And then, cultural differences, basically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it leads into the next question, because I know you have... the question is, would be, what are some of the practical things that would assist you with the challenges you faced? And let's talk about faced when you first came here to now, because I know you and your good friend Tuesday and a few others, but you two in particular, have been very proactive in through the Harvey Filipino community
yes.
and putting things together and bringing people together.
Yes.
Is that a practical way of helping people feel part of the journey?
Yes, most definitely. Because when we came over here, we felt that I, particularly myself, I have been so homesick because we lived in the farm, because that's where Neil was working before. And it's very secluded area.
Mm.
We don't have neighbors in there. So I was very homesick. And maybe that's the reason why I really have this urge and this aim and goal to really be connected with the community and create like a group of community where Filipinos can really feel at home still, ask for help, ask for assistance, and then share the same culture, that whatever it is that we can share still, and feel that we are still with family in here, even while we are away from home.
Yeah.
So yes.
Very practical way, and I've been fortunate enough to be invited along. Thank you, Leni. Yes. Thank you, Tuesday, and a few others to some Filipino celebrations.
Yes.
And it's been wonderful, wonderful, and all those things that you've talked about, which make you know the food, the music,
definitely,
the dance, the laughter, all of that are very much what I think of when I think of Filipinos. All right, we are at our final question.
Okay.
Whoa, we got there.
Yes.
And then we're going to go to your final song. Okay. So, but before we do, you're saying you've been here for about 14 years and you've got two beautiful daughters and you've got Neil, wonderful husband and friends and all the rest of it. What are some of your favourite reasons for living in the Harvey area, and what are some of your hopes and aspirations for the future?
Okay, so the best thing, I think, because coming from a different country, all along I thought the fear was being discriminated.
Right.
That's the biggest fear that I was really having while traveling and going and transferring or shifting over here.
Yeah.
But fortunately, when I arrived here, especially in Brunswick and Harvey in particular, because this is where most of the Filipinos that I met are in Harvey, I felt so welcome.
Yeah, cool.
Fortunately. Mm. And that fear was never have I felt the fear that I was dreading to feel.
Yeah.
So Harvey is such a good place, very welcoming people, very such a close-knit community as well, which I find very much like family, home, back home in the Philippines. So that's the best thing, actually. And my aspiration for the future is that it stays the same.
Yes,
please.
Yes.
Let's keep it this way, because every new single person that comes to our town, they always feel welcome. Mm. They always feel, even if it's a home away from their home. So let's keep it that way. I loved Harvey the way it is already.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. I am not going to add any more words to that, because that is, a lot of insight shown, and obviously from your own experience, which is lovely. So, and believe me, we are the beneficiaries of having you guys in this area. So, and when I say you guys, all Filipinos that have come to this area have just created such a wonderful experience for all of us in this journey of life that we're all on. So, well done. So thank you, Leni, for sharing that. Really appreciate that. You had your previous song, which was in Filipino.
Yes.
What are we going for this time and why?
This time it's a more personal song for me, because this is the song that I would sing in the karaoke.
Ooh.
When I want to emote, you know what emote means for us, you know, you cry and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, so when I want to emote, especially during the time when Neil came over here, because he was here for 8 months.
Ah.
And then we followed.
Wow.
So he was away from us for 8 months. I lost 10 kilos. Now I gained 2 times of that.
Yes.
But then again, this is a very personal song for me. This is a song that I believe really tells my story while waiting for him, or while being away from him.
Yeah, sure.
In 1,000 miles of distance. So this song is entitled "Every Day" by Agot Isidro.
Mm-hmm.
She is a Filipina as well.
Okay.
And this will tell you, usually when I sing this song, it would mention about New York, but I would change it into Australia.
Gotcha. Yeah, all right. So we need to know that.
Yes. So just please think of it as Australia. And this is the story of my life when Neil was away from us with Isabella, me and Isabella only in the Philippines. Yeah. So, yes.
All right. Fantastic. Look, it's been lovely chatting with you today. Thank you, Lenny, for coming in.
Thank you, David.
And thank you, listeners, for being a part of this Your Stories, Our Community 2024, where we're just getting to know a little bit more about some of our wonderful residents and co-community people around the Harvey area. So today it's been all about Lenny Mosny, and we're going out with her final song, Every Day. Hope you really enjoy this one.
I'm just feeling lonely. It's been so long.